And now for the message this morning. Last week, we observed that we are living in an age of great indecision. Further, there are many people who live their lives as though there is absolutely no God at all and that there is no word of God. It's a travesty. What a shame. But this is true. Then there are those. Now, this doesn't apply to believers. Believers believe in the word of God. We believe in all 66 books of God's word contained in the Bible, 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. Just as a little aside, if you remember the 39 books of the Old Testament, 3, 9, you multiply 3 by 9, gives you 27, and there are 27 books in the New Testament. That's just something to keep in mind. The word of God for us today, as believers in Jesus Christ and as a congregation, we hold very highly the word of God, and it is for us our instruction for daily living. It's important that every believer takes every possible opportunity to study and apply the word of God. When Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount, as it's been referred to in Scripture, he gave a number of beatitudes. One television preacher used to call it the Beatitudes, the way in which we have our attitude. But the fourth beatitude said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, it's important for you and me to remember that the hungering and thirsting after righteousness is not just pre-conversion and at conversion. It is also after conversion. After conversion, when you and I have given our life to the Lord and invited him into our life, then it is up to you and to me to keep up with the word of God. We need to read the word of God. We need to study it. We need to apply it. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness as much today as we did when we were first saved. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And the promise is, when we hunger and when we thirst and when we apply, we will be filled. In a day of indecision and lack of direction, and in a day that many wonder about the relevancy and competency of anything, we are greatly encouraged in the fact that Jesus, our blessed Savior, is 100% relevant of every age and 100% competent in every age. Last week, we reminded ourselves that Jesus is relevant to every age, to every race, and to every need. Jesus, the one in whom we place our trust. And that means every need that you have in your life at any time. Jesus is there, and Jesus will touch us. This morning, the Lord willing, we're going to observe our blessed Savior's competency. Last week, his relevancy. Today, his competency. So let's take a look at the Word of God as we find in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, beginning to read at verse number 1. Let us hear the Word of God. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life, and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. In order to maintain our perspective on this passage of Scripture and the relevancy and the competency of Jesus, you and I do need to remember that verse, the last verse that we read in Hebrews. And it is that Jesus is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And do you remember we said on previous occasions that if we ever want to know what God the Father is like, all we need to do is look to Jesus. Look to everything that is written about Jesus in the Word of God, and when we do, we will find out exactly what God the Father is like. Because Jesus was indeed and is the perfect representation in human form of God the Father. As we all know, there are many people who question the authenticity, the relevancy, and the competency of the Word of God. There are those who absolutely know nothing about it. They've never looked into the Word of God. They don't know what it says. And then there are those who've undertaken just a cursory look at the Word of God and think they either know it all or they have come to incorrect conclusions. There are those, like I believe all in this congregation, who place their complete trust in the Bible as the Word of God and apply it to our daily living. Then there are those who have come to the conclusion that the Bible is an outdated collection of books that lists only history of the Jewish people, the early Christians, and, would you believe, contains many myths and legends. Now, that's their belief. This is not our belief. One time, I heard on the radio a bishop of a church in Canada say that the Bible is filled with legend and myth. It is not true. He is wrong. He was wrong. He's gone out into glory now. Where he is, I don't know. But if he's in glory, he knows that the Word of God is true, and it's not filled with legend and with myth. Those who have it in their mind that it's only legend and myth, they believe something like this. The Bible has no relevancy for today. That's true in this LGBTQ situation in which we live today. There are churches, believe it or not, churches who are not preaching the God, they are not preaching the Word of God. Churches who are saying, well, that Bible was written many years ago. It's for an age gone by. It's for a society gone by, but doesn't apply to our society. It doesn't apply to our age. It needs to be updated. Not true. It's society that needs to be updated to the very Word of God. Those people, they believe it's totally incompetent for providing information of importance for today. They believe that it is outdated and ought to have no authority for people, especially people who place all their trust in their own competency and in their own importance. To them, the Word of God has no influence. However, the Word of God touches our hearts. I always remember the story of a man who took a Bible to a pagan nation, and people in that pagan nation wanted to hear the Word of God. When the missionary left, he left the Bible with the people. The amazing thing to me is that the people tore the Bible up page at a time, and they distributed a page to every person. So every person would have a little bit of the copy of the Word of God. They exchanged the papers. Absolutely amazing. We sometimes do not treat the Word of God with the respect that it needs to be treated. We do not remember all that people in the past have gone through in order to give us the Word of God in our language so that we can understand what God is saying to us as individuals. Praise be to God for those who have interpreted Scripture, going back to the original Hebrew or the original Greek, interpreting it into the language of the day. We have so many translations in our homes these days, but let us not just look at the Bible as being another book on the shelf. Let us remember that the Bible is the Word of God. It needs to take prominence in our life and in all that we do. We are reminded by the Word of God. We get God's communication to us through the words expressed in His Word, which you and I can read in our language, and we receive from this the information that Jesus is the perfect representation of God the Father, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to God. When the author of the book of Hebrews, originally the Holy Spirit, but some human author penned it down, he was spelling out a message of divine relevancy and competency. From our ongoing study of the Word of God and of the life of Jesus, we have learned that Jesus is the Son of God and that He is Emmanuel. We don't hear the word Emmanuel too often. We hear it often at Christmas time, but perhaps not during the rest of the year. But Emmanuel, rightly interpreted, means God with us. Jesus is God in human form, God with us. Now, there are two titles among many that have been applied to Jesus. One is the Son of God, which we know that he is, and God in human form. And the second is the Son of Man. Interesting to me is that throughout the New Testament, in Jesus' own words, he often referred to himself as the Son of Man. This was his favorite self-description. I am the Son of Man. We know he's the Son of God, and he's also the Son of Man. So this morning we're going to look at his competency as the Son of Man. Now, Jesus was the human name given to him. We know that the angel's message is very clear to Mary when he said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus will save his people from their sins. Now, while Jesus was on earth in human form, walking and living among men, among human beings, we could look back at his life and we could identify him as being a reformer, a healer, in today's language, a social worker, a teacher, a friend of the outcast and of the opposed and the oppressed. He was a preacher. But we must never forget the important words that Jesus is our Savior. What were those words? He will save his people from their sins. This was the primary reason why Jesus came. All of these other tasks he undertook because of the deep compassion, the compassion of God in his heart. However, what he came to do was to save his people from their sins. Even some of the religious leaders looked to him with great joy whenever he performed a miracle. They thought this was absolutely wonderful. But when Jesus looked at the paralyzed man and he said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven you," that's when the religious leaders started to stiffen up. That's when they started to look to Jesus and say, "Is this who he really says he is?" So the people of that day, and indeed the people of today, have to come to a conclusion. And it's an either-or situation. What is the conclusion? Either is that he was simply a man, not God, and therefore he could not forgive sins, even though he was able to heal people. That's a conclusion. Either that, or he was God in human form, and therefore had the right to heal and had the right to forgive sins. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. It seems that the religious leaders of that day were too blind to recognize mankind's fundamental problem, and that is sin. Of all the panaceas that fade into insignificance, they all do until we come to grips with the problem of sin. This is what Jesus was. He's relevant. He's competent. He's competent to forgive us of our sin. The scripture says, Paul's letter to 1 Timothy, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance." I like the King James Version that says, "worthy of all acceptation." I like that word. Hold on to it in your mind. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And Paul says, of whom I am the chief. I suspect there are days in your life, even though we're born again, even though we have Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit living within us, there are days when we have been tempted and when we have given in to the sin. And I suspect that among most of us, if not all of us, that there are days when we can identify with Paul and say, "of whom I am chief." And yet, Jesus has saved us. He paid for every sin for you and for me, past, present, and future, whatever they will be. Jesus paid the price, and he did it for you, and he did it for me. Paul says, in fact, that all my education and all my learning and all my own righteousness is like going to a garbage heap. It means absolutely nothing. But Paul came to realize that he needed a Savior, and Jesus was his name. And everything that he did meant nothing, but what Jesus did meant everything. Oh, that people that you and I know would come to the same conclusion. Perhaps you've all heard the story of the three construction workers who were on a site, and as they were walking along, going from point A to point B, all of a sudden the ground opened up and two of them fell into a very deep pit. They could not get out. They tried, one holding the other up, lifting the other up, could not get out. They couldn't get out until the one who was left behind, above them, found a rope and put down into the pit, and then the two were able to get up. Now, there's a wonderful lesson here. They could only be rescued with help from above. And that's the way it is with you and with me. We can only be rescued with help from above. And the help from above is Jesus coming to this earth, God in human form, to pay the price that you and I could not pay. We all need help from above. We cannot get eternal life, cannot be with Jesus forever and forever on our own. We need Jesus to reach down and pull us up out of the pit, out of the miry clay, out of the depths of sin, and place us on the solid rock of Jesus Christ himself. He was absolutely competent as the Son of Man, being God in human form. And he's also competent as the Son of God. Now, as we said, Jesus is the name that he was given from the angel to Mary and to Mary and Joseph to Jesus. And that was his given name, his human name, so to speak. But also, we always or often refer to Jesus as Jesus Christ. Now, the truth of the matter is Christ was not his surname. Jesus was his given name, and Christ was his title. So more correctly, we should be saying Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ, because that is his title. What does the word Christ mean? It means Messiah. It means anointed one. Now, for those who study the Word of God, we know that in the Old Testament, there were three offices that were anointed. These were the offices of prophet, of priest, and king. And for you and for me, it's vital for us to recognize that Jesus is all three. He's prophet, he's priest, he's king. He's also Savior. Praise be to God. As prophet, he's the divine spokesman. Now, you know this passage of Scripture because we read it last week, and you've read it many times. But let me read it again in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, remember, this word is capitalized, and it refers to Jesus. So in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God. And Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was absolutely full of grace and compassion and truth. And everything written in Scripture about Jesus is 100% true. You will see things written about Jesus from other extra-biblical or extra writings that are not the Word of God. Do not listen to what other words have to say. Only look to the Jesus of Scripture, of the Holy Bible as we have it. Someone has suggested that Jesus as the Word was God's conversation with human. Somebody had said that this is God's love letter to people. It's Jesus telling us about himself. It's his Word having a conversation with the people of God. Now we know that there was a point when God the Father, how God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one and yet individual is difficult for us to comprehend. Because here was Jesus, here on this earth, being baptized. The Holy Spirit was present. And then a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Amazing, the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all present at that moment of our blessed Savior's baptism. And then in the book of Hebrews we read, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by prophets, has he in these days spoken to us, how? By his Son. The ultimate word from God the Father comes through Jesus the Son. Praise be to him. There is no other message for a lost world than the message of Christ, the anointed prophet. In him, in Jesus, God has spoken his final word. Three offices of the Old Testament. Prophet, Jesus was a prophet. Priest, was Jesus a priest? As Christ represents the divine spokesman as prophet, he also represents the divine sacrifice that everyone needs. The Bible reminds us in Hebrews, for this reason, Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement. Now, there's another word in the King James Version other than atonement, and it is propitiation. Now, there's a word for you. It's a theological word. Propitiation simply means sacrifice or satisfaction, not sacrifice, but satisfaction. So let me read it again. And that he might make atonement or propitiation or satisfaction for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He was able to help those who are being tempted. Now, this is true for you and for me today. Because of Jesus' presence within your life and in mine, when we are tempted, he can help us get over that temptation and not be led into the sin with which we are tempted. That is why his name is Jesus, for in his own body he suffered the penalty of our sin in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I think about it every now and then, and I just can't get over the fact that there was a divine transference that took place on the cross of Christ. Jesus became sin for us, and for all who put their trust in him, we received his righteousness. Can you imagine our sin being poured into Jesus and Jesus' righteousness being poured into us? So when God looks down upon us, he looks beyond our sin. Our sin is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he looks at us and he considers you and me to be righteous. Now, I know in my heart and soul, I am not righteous. I am not 100% righteous. I would like to be. I am not. The only time I will be is when I get to glory. But in the Father's eyes, he looks at me, because I put all my trust in his Son, he looks at me as being righteous. Praise be to God. Jesus was and is a prophet, was and is our high priest, and he is king. As Christ represents the divine spokesman as a prophet, represents the divine sacrifice as priest, he also represents the divine sovereign that everyone needs. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he said, for this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Lord of both the dead and the living, meaning those who have died in Christ and those who are alive in Christ. He is our Lord. We all know that humankind is kind of interesting, in that whatever situation we're in, we seem to look for and pine for a leader. There needs to be a leader in a family. There needs to be a leader in a community. There needs to be a leader in a community of Christians called a church. There needs to be a leader municipality. There needs to be municipally at least. There needs to be a leader throughout the land. But people long for having a leader of one nature or another. This world is longing for a leader, but they don't know the kind of leader for which or for whom they are longing. This world is going to get its answer. One of these days, and world conditions are such that they're pointing in that direction more and more every single week, if not every single day, that a leader is going to come on this earth, and this person is going to head up all the governments of earth. Now, this person is not Jesus. This person is one who is anti-Jesus. This person is one who is anti-Christ. When we look at what's going on, even in our own Canadian scene and Ontario scene, we know there are things that are being done today, enacted in law, that are absolutely against the Word of God. And what is it looking to? It's looking to the Word of man, the Word of humankind. And what would be a surprise to many is this is Satan's way, the prince of the power of this air, of getting to people throughout the earth. So there is a day coming when this world is going to have a one-world leader. And he's going to be referred to as the Antichrist. He is going to pretend to be sovereign, pretend to be king, and he's going to think that he is. But there's a great day coming to him, a great day of judgment, Because the truth of the matter is, while that Antichrist is going to be ruling here for about 7 years on this earth, at the end of that 7 years, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Son of the living God. He's going to come and he's going to establish his kingdom. So the people on this earth who are longing for a leader, they are not longing for Jesus. You and I need to long for Jesus. As I look at the pandemic, so-called pandemic, as I look at the way in which governments are trying to get more and more control over people, I come to realize that this is hastening the day when Jesus is going to return. So as people who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after the righteousness of the Scripture, the righteousness of the Word of God, you and I need to be up to date on the Word of God, and you and I need to apply it in our daily living. We do not need to wait for his coming on this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You and I, if we haven't already, can put our trust in him even today. Put our trust in him and invite him in our life and discover that we need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. We're like the men in the pit. We're in the pit and we can't get out, and we need help from above. And the help from above is Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, coming into your life and to mine. In reviewing last Sunday's message and today's, we have seen that Jesus the Christ is always relevant. He is always competent. What a wonderful gospel this is, and how contemporary, for it has to do with the contemporary Christ. Now, here's a question for each of us. Has he become relevant and competent in your life? Do you know Jesus as Savior, as Prophet, as Priest, as King? Remember this, our blessed Savior waits to enter your life and become to you all that your heart longs for. Don't miss out on the most contemporary encounter in human experience, even an encounter with Jesus the Christ. If you've never made your decision before, will you make it today? Our Father, we thank you for coming to this earth in the form of your Son, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus the Savior, Jesus our Savior. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you. We want your name to be glorified. We thank you for your presence with us. We praise you. Amen.